been a hell of a year trying to get in gear. Stuck in darkness for so long, it feels like home. Now I'm ready to go, packed and ready to roll. Leave my shadow back behind me on the road. I need to find some high to ride, keep my feet on the ground so my soul can fly. Head on down the road tonight, with the throttle open wide. Take a state line trip to the other side. Need another high to ride. Find some other high to ride. But are we the same? Like a groundhog day. Time to find some peace. I've got to change my way. Smell that ocean breeze through the tall pine trees. Shed my boots to feel the sand beneath my feet. I need to find some high to ride. Keep my feet on the ground so my soul can fly. Head on down the road tonight, with the throttle open wide. Take a state line trip to the other side. Need another high to ride. Find some other high to ride. 'Cause so my soul can fly. Head on down the road tonight, with the throttle open wide. Take a state line trip to the other side, for another high to ride. For some other high to ride. Find some other high.
That was Gary Patrick and A High to Ride, taken from his album by that same name. You are tuned into the Whiskey and Cigarettes Show in the company of your Cabacus Never, Romy the Rodeo, and the Italian DJ Nick. And my people, it's truly an honor and a pleasure to welcome the show today, the one and only Gary Patrick. Hey, Gary, how are you today?
Hey, Nick, I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me on. I really do appreciate the opportunity.
Oh, we're very, very happy to have you on indeed, Gary. And we just heard, of course, this great song of yours, High to Ride, taken from your latest album by that same name. So when it comes to the High to Ride song, how did it come about? Are there any stories or anecdotes behind this song?
Yeah, actually there is. You know, I mean, High to Ride, I know there's a reference that might say, hey, let's smoke something funny and jump on a motorcycle. And there is a reference to a motorcycle in the song. But really, High to Ride is about when you get stuck in life, and we all do, whether it's physically or mentally, and you would do anything for a new perspective. You needed something new or spiritual in your life to lift you up, you know, bring you some happiness. You need a new high to ride. So that's what that song is about, you know.
And it's definitely a fantastic song indeed. And when it comes to this latest album of yours, Gary, you know, the High to Ride album, how would you best describe it? What are people getting with this latest offering of yours?
Well, it's my sixth album to be released, and I would say it's by far the most cohesive group of songs that I've released together. To me, it feels more like a debut album than anything I've ever done before. And I mean, if I could I'll try to do this quickly. You know, I released a couple of Americana albums when I lived in Southern California. And I was a young buck, you know, maybe a mediocre at best songwriter, but I didn't really have any direction as an artist. And I think that's a lot of us, you know, when we first start out, we don't have a direction. We surely don't know how to promote and have a release schedule. But after my second album, I started co-writing with a dear friend named Ken Orso. He lives in Oregon on the other side of the United States. And we put earbuds in and we don't Skype. We just use our ears. And as soon as I started co-writing, everything got better. I got less emotional about my music and I got more objective about the art, the craft of writing great songs, you know? So I wrote a little bit less about me and a more about the world. And I got just better at it. So I lived in Las Vegas for 10 years, actually. And then I'm just being really quick about it, but I went to Nashville, and Ken and I were writing songs, not only for me as an artist, but for the possibility of maybe selling songs to Nashville artists. That's why we were co-writing with such intensity, you know? And so I recorded a couple of albums with the thought in the back of my mind, maybe I could sell a song to another artist. When it came time to record High to Ride, I decided that this was all for me. So that's why I'm super proud of this. I would say that it is the most authentic group of songs that I've recorded to date.
And it's definitely, as I said, a fantastic album. You should definitely be proud of it indeed. You're very welcome. And, you know, Gary, country music often reflects the artist's personal experiences and emotions. And could you share a specific life event or moment that inspired one of your most popular songs?
Yeah, there's a piece. You know, the thing is, life is research and development for me when I'm writing songs. You know, there's bits and pieces of, you know, High to Ride was a personal song. Sure. I mean, it wasn't too far. It wasn't too far in the background that the pandemic shut us all down, you know, and I've made a living as a musician for 30 plus years of my life. It's all I've ever done, you know, was play gigs and promote music. And High to Ride was kind of born out of coming out of that, you know, that it felt good to release that, you know, and to come back out with that enthusiasm. There's a beautiful song called Leave Me Lonely. That is just, it's just timeless. It's a beautiful way to end the album. I love timeless music. You know what I mean? So that's always in the back of my mind. I write lyrics. Some of my favorite writers have an essence of innocence to their lyrics. And we are living in a time when there's not much innocence left, because the internet has given us everything we should never see as a teenager. You know, we get anything we want instantly. Now, I remember some of my favorite writers, like Mark Knopfler from Dire Straits. His lyrics were all so innocent about being a young lad going to a circus or going to a carnival and meeting a girl, you know, in this. So I might be going off on a tangent, but those are the pieces I like to take with me whenever I write a song, a little bit of innocence.
Well, and I guess that after this interview, I'm going to be have to listen to Tunnel of Love for the millionth time, because I love that song so
you
much.
Know what I was talking about. You knew the song I was talking about.
Of course, yes. Well, it's actually one of my personal all-time favorite Dire Straits songs. And Tunnel of Love, such a masterpiece when it comes just to on a sonic level, on a lyrical level. It's just one of those songs, like you said, that will stand the test of time. I mean, it still sounds modern now, which I think is something that very few artists are able to achieve. Because, you know, a lot of songs you hear, you can tell, they're of their time. But there are songs like, wow, this could have been written yesterday. And it's insane when that happens. And actually, speaking of imagery and such, you know, many country songs also known for their vivid imagery and relatable lyrics, like we were saying. And how do you go about crafting your lyrics in order to resonate with your audience?
Oh my gosh, lyrics, number one, songs can fall out of nowhere. You know, when I get really creative when I drive my car, you know, there's something that gets accessed in my brain and my heart. You know, sometimes a lyric will just fall out of the air, you know, and then I'll go home and write it. Or sometimes I'll be talking to you, Nick, and you will say something, and then I'll be more crafty about how I start a song. But it's never the same way twice. You know, I always say that writing is a muscle that if you don't use, you lose. You gotta write to keep the flow going, or it takes you a minute to get back on the horse. But for me, it could be a guitar riff, or it could be something that my mother said to me 30 years ago. You know, I think it's different with everybody, you know.
Oh no, of course. And speaking actually of that, of keeping that flow going, there is this you know, many discussions have been made when it comes to writer's block. Now, when it comes to you, do you think that writer's block exists? And oh, yeah. How do you tackle it?
Yeah, I think people get wore out, you know, because I think we just, artists, especially, I can speak from my point of view. I pour everything into my music, you know, it's quite emotional writing songs. I mean, I cry, you know, I laugh, you know, that's how deep I go when I write a song, you know, because I want the audience to feel what I'm feeling. And so when I feel like I have nothing more to say, I take a break. I go work on my vintage car. You know, I go walking with my wife, or when it's time to get back to writing, I immerse myself with art. I watch movies nonstop. I immerse myself in books, movies. I listen to music. You know, I immerse myself in the world and I focus. You know, I could be playing a gig and I could watch a couple of young lovers, you know, I could watch them act, you know, together. They don't know I'm watching them, but I'm looking for a magic moment to trigger some art in me so I can write some music.
And then it's amazing how one can find inspiration everywhere and anywhere, and sometimes in the most unlikelier places. And you being, you mentioning that you were a fan of movies and like watching movies. Did you get into the whole Barbie Oppenheimer craze recently? Did you get to sit down and watch those films?
Yeah, I did not. I did not. You know, my wife went with the grandkids, you know, but I just didn't watch it.
Oh, okay. Well, wait, should we say
Oppenheimer? I saw that movie. I thought it was. I mean, I'm a world historian, so I thought that was fascinating to me. You know, my wife got a little bored, but I loved it.
I mean, I can see why maybe it's not for everyone. Plus, it's a 3-hour movie, so I guess you know, unless you're really invested in the story, it can be a little, I guess, heavy going. But I agree with you. I think Christopher Nolan did a fabulous job directing that film, and everybody involved in it did a fabulous, fabulous job. And exactly. And you know, of course, another big aspect about, you know, country Americana and what have you is often the celebration for its sense of community. And how do you stay connected with your fellow artists and the music community as a whole?
Oh, well, social media has helped that tremendously, you know. It's interesting, isn't it? It's I'm from a very small town here in Texas. I mean, they actually had to put two towns together to form one school, so I could go to it. I'm from a farm community, you know, and I left in 1989, and I moved back in roughly 2008 is when I came back home, and so I was able to connect with all of my local friends and family with social media. I base myself out of here, but I have to tell you, it's very strange. I know my local people love me. I love them. We're a small community, but I think I probably might get more support out of people that, you know, I'm not around all the time. I don't know what, I think that's a familiar thing with a lot of artists, is they just go, oh, that's Gary. You know, it doesn't matter. It's Gary. We've seen him sing since he was in elementary, whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
It certainly does. Yeah, I mean, because I suppose it's curious sometimes where one finds, I guess, one's audience and one's niche. But I love that the book's like, oh yeah, that's Gary. We know him. It's all right. But,
if you want to get biblical, a prophet is out without honor in his own land. But I'm not saying I'm a prophet. I'm just saying I've often wondered, why aren't these people coming out to a show? You know, it's because it's just Gary. We've got other things to do, you know?
I kind of am in the same boat with you. It's kind of like, you know, when it comes to my other projects I've got, like my podcasts and what have you, my friends don't listen to my podcast. They get so kind of irked about it. I'm like, we're supposed to be mates. You're supposed to be listening to my stuff.
Right.
And they're not. Right. And other people are, and you're very appreciative for the audience that does. But it's like your friends like, yeah, okay, it's one of your podcasts, whatever, you know, I'll get around to it at some point. You know what I mean?
You know, Nick, I got to tell you, man, the most freeing thing that ever happened was I stopped having expectation. You know, you know what I mean? Because we're passionate about what we do, right? That's what you're doing. My gosh, Nick, you're talking to me from across the pond in a big way. That is, do you love this? I love that. I love people. Connecting with people, not everybody gets that, you know.
We can't be
upset at them for, you know, not loving it like we love it.
No, of course. Yeah, no, I agree with you. Like you said, kind of, I guess, how one sort of channels one's passions and what have you. And another, you know, kind of topic of discussion, so it's come up a lot, you know, and I've noticed a lot of country artists have talked about it, is the Oliver Anthony phenomenon. And the artists coming out of, you know, stuff like TikTok and what have you, like Zach Bryan or Bailey Zimmerman and what have you. And how do you feel about this, this thing that's recently happened? And, you know, are you in favor of artists kind of being discovered on platforms like TikTok or Instagram or what have you and becoming stars overnight?
You know, I can't knock it. You know, I mean, I think you got to find your audience where they are, you know. I think it's a beautiful thing, you know. I've been doing this my whole life. There's not a silver bullet. There's not one magical thing that's gonna do it for everybody. You know what I mean? Some people get discovered on American Idol or a contest. I'm not a contest guy. You know why? Because I've spent my whole life cultivating my talent and my art, and I gig four nights a week, every week. Yeah, I'm constantly cultivating and, you know, reaching that. So to me, like a TikTok thing is, I'm going to use the word a gimmick, but it's not, it's a tool. It's so, you know what I mean? I'm not a young buck. I'm 52 years old. I've been around a while. So it's not that I'm hesitant for TikTok. It's just that I'm wondering if my audience is on TikTok. You know what I mean? I would love to connect with people on TikTok. Have I answered your question? I guess the problem I have is that the algorithm that used to work for Facebook, that doesn't work anymore. You know, like it literally, you kick the ball and the goalpost moves. Yeah. They're changing the rules. So as an independent artist, you're constantly trying to figure out, how do I connect with people? You know? And so if you really love what you do, you don't get frustrated. You just buckle up and you go, okay, let's do this, you know? And you keep going in.
That's very true. And when it also comes, you know, to something that music tends to do a lot, or certain genres anyway, I think country can be counted among these, is they tend to reflect the political and social situations of the time. You know, of course, I was mentioning Oliver Anthony earlier. You're getting a lot of these artists who are coming out with songs of protest, if you will, for their current situation, maybe not happy with the way the country is going, what have you. Do you think that music and politics should remain separate entities, or are you happy to see artists taking a stand and writing songs about social upheaval and about political protest?
Yeah, that has existed since the first song was ever written, right? I think people are just using a platform to get their message out. You know, that's the same way with professional sports in the United States. Somehow they found a way to use their platform as a professional athlete to use, you know, to get their political message across. It kind of drives me nuts a little bit, because I'd really like the art to just be about beautiful art. And, you know, there's where the lines blur, Nick, right? Mm-hmm. Because we're writing about things in our lives, right? Sure. Based on maybe what they're watching on television, you know? So maybe the media plays up something and gets us all upset, and we buy into it, so we write a bunch of songs about protest, you know? I think that if everyone stays true to their heart, I think that's all we got to do. I would like to see the Young Bucks take a deeper cut. And I would like to see them write more about love than what they're unhappy about. Mm. But then, hey, I'm an older guy, right? I finally achieved a little bit of grace that I've always seen in my favorite people in the world. They get older, they got more grace. They're not worried about stuff, you know? So, yeah, I would just, that falls into a song I wrote called Rivers and Creeks off of this album. And it's my wish to all the Young Bucks to just, when you're trying to even up the score, just talk a little softer and hug a little more, you know?
That's very well said. I think, you know, that kind of is also tied into what you were mentioning earlier about the social media phenomenon and how so much of the ugly truth has been revealed.
Yes.
Maybe cynicism has now fallen into, the public zeitgeist, and to where your songwriters and your artists and what have you are kind of touched by this cynicism, and hence you will have very maybe cynical and angry songs coming out because of it, because of now what we know. It's like, now we know the awful truth and we're mad, and so we're going to tell you about it. So I guess that might be it, is that we're living in a very cynical period, which I think is also influencing the youngsters when it comes to writing songs or writing poems or writing stories. It very much, I think, is colored by that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, Nick, we're all learning how to drop down from our head to our heart in life. You know what I mean? And it may only be this far, but my friend, it seems like we can wake up, we can go to sleep feeling good about life, and then wake up and in 30 seconds, we can ruin our day if we let it. You know what I mean? I think that the world is getting smarter. There's no doubt. I think people are finally seeing things for what they are. And they're going, wait a minute. We're being fooled. We're being tugged by the media to be worried about stuff. Yeah, that's just my take on it. And my true wish for the world is just love and peace. And I think it's coming, because we definitely have been here before. You know,
we have. Yep. And hopefully, you know, just like we've seen darker days, we'll be able to leave exit the tunnel and embrace the light again. One can only hope that will be the case. You know, we talked about the tunnel of love. Hopefully we will be able to get back to that tunnel of love moment for sure, and leave cynicism and stuff behind.
Yeah, Nick. I mean, that's my heart of hearts wishes for that, you know?
I'm right there with you. And looking back, looking at your career so far, you know, Gary, if you had to choose, what would you say is the most significant milestone in your career so far? And why does it hold a special meaning to you or for you?
Oh, my gosh. Wow. I don't even know how to answer that. I mean, I've made so many mistakes, Nick, in my career, you know, but that's how you get better, you know? Mm-hmm. My gosh, I could tell you a lot of stories, Nick. I mean, I've played a lot of gigs. I've entertained a lot of people. I had the house gig at the Bellagio and the Mirage in Vegas for 10 years, you know. I've entertained a lot of people. What's the most significant? Let me tell you a good story. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready. I'm all ears.
This might be interesting for your listeners. I was living in Los Angeles. I was playing in my bar band. And one of the drummers that I play with, he was connected in Hollywood with a string of producers. And at the time in 1995, which was only a blink of an eye away, but my gosh, that was a long time ago. there's a producer named Cliff Magnus. Cliff has so many gold records on the wall. He's produced everyone. He's a Quincy Jones writer producer. And yeah, he produced Avril Lavigne, everybody. But he was producing an album for Brian Wilson's daughters. They were in Wilson Phillips. Are you familiar with with those heroes?
Certainly. You
know, Wendy and Carney Wilson, they had a band with China Phillips. And of course, their dad is Brian Wilson from the Beach Boys.
Beach Boys, yeah.
Well, Cliff Magnus had just produced an album called The Wilsons, just for the two sisters. And I got a phone call to go up and audition for the band. And they were producing it. They were just releasing the first couple of singles. And so they needed somebody to go do radio station tours and some television appearances. And so I got the gig. And it was, I mean, it was amazing. I'm a country boy. And all of a sudden, I mean, I've been looking at these girls on MTV, you know. So now I'm like on a plane, you know, going to radio stations and hanging out in hotel rooms and laughing. And so I had access to Cliff Magnus, the producer. I had just finished recording my first Americana album. And I sent him an email and I said, Cliff, I just recorded this album. Could I send it to you? Or would you give it a listen? And he said, send it on, bro. I never heard back from him. So I never heard back. And it was about 6 weeks later. And I sent him an email that I wish I would have deleted instead. Because it was like, hey, man, aren't you going to email me back? What do you, you know? And it wasn't that I was snarky about it. But he was busy and didn't have time for me. And he let me know, that, hey, look, man, I don't owe you a career. And you'll know when your stuff is good because people will get back to you. And I'm like, wow. But I needed to hear that. And had if I could tell everybody that gets an opportunity for, you know, for somebody like that, relax. You know, had I played that card right, I might could have cultivated a great relationship with one of the biggest producers in Hollywood. And become, you know, and maybe cultivated more opportunities for myself. So basically, it's get a hold of your emotions, people. You know, when you're a young buck and that's all you're acting on emotion, you got to learn how to pull it in, you know. So that was a pivotal point for me. I grew up a lot in that experience.
Well, I can imagine. I mean, I think those are very much... learning moments, as you say, a learning curve, if you would, it's a teaching moment, as folks would say. And, you know, we definitely need those in our lives. And wow, what a story. Thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Yeah.
And speaking of, you know, to finding out where you're at and such, where can folks go to kind of find out about announcements for new music of yours or upcoming gigs and what have you? Where can we send them to?
I'll show you, there's several places. My website is garypatrick.love, L-O-V-E. It's not a dating website. Yeah, I'm not going to contact you about your expired car's warranty. I let .com go and somebody wants $10,000 to get .com. So I'm .love now. Garypatrick.love, that's got everything you need to know about me on it. I got a great EPK on it, and you can find out my schedule, my tour schedule. And if you want to reach me through social media, I'm Facebook and Instagram at Gary Patrick Music. At Gary Patrick Music. And I've got a YouTube page that not only do I do music videos, but I do equipment, guitar. I'm a guitar player, not just a songwriter. I do guitar demos for equipment. And there's a lot of great stuff on there. So that's YouTube at Gary Patrick Music.
Fabulous stuff. Well, folks, you definitely know where to go for more Gary Patrick goodness. And speaking of Gary Patrick goodness, Gary, we're going to be seeing you out here with another great song of yours, which will be Nobody Else But You. Now, when it comes to this song, any stories behind this one?
No, well, you know, that's interesting. We were talking about Mark Knopfler, who is he's my favorite musician of all times. Now, I love all genres of music. I was brought up in a household with so many genres. But I remember the song Tunnel of Love. It's my favorite Mark Knopfler song, same favorite Dire Straits song. And in that song, he talks about being a young lad, you know, meeting a girl at basically a carnival, you know. So Nobody Else But You is about a young buck hanging out with his friends, loving his life, just having drinks, not expecting anything in the world. And then, bam, she walks in and then everything changes, which is pretty much how life goes, right?
Yes, indeed. I'm like, where have I seen that one before? That's happened to me too. So, speaking of great, you know, relatable songs and lyrics there. So, I'm sure folks are really going to enjoy this one. So, we are going to go into this one. This will be Gary Patrick, of course, and Nobody Else But You. Gary, I want to once again thank you so much for your time. I truly appreciated it. And of course, I want to wish you continued success with your career and all the very best for the remainder of 2023.
Very best to you, Nick. Thank you so much, my friend.
Well, thank you very much. Well, people, you heard it from Gary Patrick. Be sure to keep your eyes peeled for everything he has going on, because believe you me, he has a lot going on. He has a new album out there, High to Ride. Be sure to pick that up. Here's the great song from it. This will be Nobody Else But You. You are tuned into the Whiskey and Cigarettes Show with your Italian DJ Nick. We'll be right back after this.
You're stuck in my head, right in the middle of things that I gotta do. I'm daydreaming with a funny little smirk. Balls are screaming, hey boy, get back to work. I ain't thinking about nobody else but you. Just to think about a year ago, I was drinking beer with old friends. Stuck in my head.